Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pay. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run like a Cleveland
Bengals. TFA fam, what is up? What is happening? I'm back. Yes. I was on hiatus, had some things come up, but we are back again this week. It is Combine Week. I know everybody's going to be giving you all the Combine, you know, all the Combine stuff this week, at least the preview of it. There's really only so much you can say about these guys. You know, we'll get all the information, you know, tonight or this week, this weekend. The quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends all go this weekend. So we will be back next week to talk about all that, kind of what stood out to us, the winners, the losers, all that good information that you'll be looking for. But so tonight we decided to take a little bit different of an approach, kind of just do like an early ADP kind of review, kind of see where things are coming in. And especially, you know, we're going to talk about the rookies first, kind of where they're fitting in right now in terms of ADP. Obviously, some of these things are going to change. Some of them are going to go up. Some are going to go way down. They're going to get a lot of fluctuation. But overall, this is kind of what we wanted to talk about this week. And like I said, we will be back next week for a full breakdown of the combine, all the goodness, all the 40 times that a guy's out there running in, you know, their underwear. So the underwear Olympics, as some may call.
Hand size.
Yes, hand size, 40 times, you know, all that good stuff that everybody gets overly excited about in terms of the combine. So we are on to March, so that is good news. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and get into some things. First things first, we got the question of the week this week. And I think let's have a little fun with it. Who are your, let's say, top five? Who are your top five favorite fantasy football players you've ever drafted?
Ooh, let's see. Jamaal Charles, Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall, Arian Foster was always a favorite. And I'm gonna throw out a waiver wire pickup that took me to the promised land. CJ Anderson.
I thought you were gonna say somebody else. Okay. Okay, so for me, number one, always and forever, will be Megatron. I had our home keeper lead. I had him for years, pretty much since he was drafted all the way through. I actually traded him the year he retired. I traded him right that offseason, right before he retired. So that worked out for me. But Megatron will always have a special place in my heart. Just was so much fun. Such a one-of-a-kind player and what he was able to do in terms of his physicality, his speed, everything that he brought to the table. So Calvin Johnson would definitely be number one for me. Follow that up, it probably would have to be Antonio Brown, another guy that had very early in the process. Love Antonio Brown. Yes, late stage career stuff completely changed. I 100% believe that knockout that he took against the, I think it was the Bengals, Vontaze Burfict, that knocked his ass out.
Yeah.
I don't think he really was ever the same after that. We're definitely probably going to hear that he had CTE, you know, later on it, when, you know, whenever, you know,
he ends up passing. Maniac now.
Yeah. But both of those two dudes were fantastic. I definitely agree. Arian Foster was probably like one of like guys that I remember as like that really late get round player that somebody would have drafted that ended up just going off. Arian Foster, mm-hmm. if he just would have stayed healthy. He was fantastic. Next up, I'm going to go with Priest Holmes. Short-lived, but he had one of the best fantasy seasons we will ever see. And then I'm going to go with the waiver wire guy as well, and that is Zach Stacy. Absolutely love Zach Stacy. Now, not the person, because he's a piece of shit, because he ended up getting, right. I think, arrested for stuff. But when it happened, he won a lot of people fantasy championships. And I will never forget whatever it happened, because it was because I remember there was a lot of debate. I can't remember the other running back. It was him and another guy. There was this heavy debate. I really felt like it was going to be Zach Stacy. What was Zach Stacy? Everyone else went and picked up the other dude. I can't remember.
Trey Mason?
I think that might be it. I can't remember, though. And he went off. So he would definitely be. Actually, it just came to me while I was thinking about it. I'm gonna take one out. I am not gonna go with Arian Foster. You listen up. I'm gonna list Julius Thomas, and will always go down as one of my best calls I've ever had. The year with Peyton Manning, never forget it. I was heavy telling everybody to draft Julius Thomas. Everybody was telling me I was crazy. He's not gonna be anything. I mean, I was like smashing the table. Draft Julius Thomas. I mean, everywhere, all over Twitter. Everywhere, people were trying to clown me. He goes out in the first game, had like 100 yards, 2 scores with Peyton Manning. It was fantastic. I'll never forget it. So Julius Thomas has to go on that list for me, for that call alone. Short-lived career, but whether he was with Denver, he was excellent. Was great that year. So that would probably be my top five list of guys. There's probably other guys if I really wanted to dig into it, but those five are the best. And I also think, honestly, that some of my favorite things to do is to go back like in history of like the fantasy leagues you're in, of like 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, and just kind of look at your roster, kind of the players you have, and like all of a sudden, like, oh, it's like a trip down memory. Like, oh, I forgot about that guy. Man, I thought that guy was going to be great. And, you know, like, I'll never forget, like, Montario Hardesty. I thought this dude was going to be fantastic for the Browns. I think he came from Tennessee. Nothing ever happened with him. But, you know, that's what happens with fantasy football. There's a lot of trutherism. Jeremy Hill was a favorite, especially on this. If people have been listening to the show for a long time, I was always banging my drum for Jeremy Hill until, you know, he did win a Super Bowl, though. So there is that. But, you know.
Yeah, you sprung this one on me. I'm sure if I had some time, there was definitely some throwbacks that we could pull up.
Oh, for sure. Matt Forte, I think, is a guy a lot of people forget, like just how good that dude was for the Bears. Yeah. Great pass catcher. I mean, he was kind of like he's a little bit of like the Christian McCaffrey before Christian McCaffrey. He was such an elite pass catcher, but he was such a 3-down workhorse you kind of do everything with. I mean, he was awesome in his time. You know, Adrian Peterson was awesome for a while, a really long time, but very more one-dimensional. But yeah, there's a lot of different names. Just go back. I remember, was it Gary Barnage for the Browns? He had that one year where he went off. So, yeah. So that being said, let's just get into it, right? So first things first. I don't think there's a lot to talk about right now with the quarterback position. I kind of looked at the ADP there, and for reference, people know we're using Underdog Fantasy ADP right now. It's kind of the best you can probably get in terms of just like real actionable data, people that are putting money on this. I know the scoring is a little bit different. It is best ball, but overall, you're still going to get a pretty good understanding of kind of where things sit right now. The quarterback position, you have Bryce Young at QB 20. You have CJ Stroud at QB 24. Anthony Richardson, QB 27, and Will Levis for QB 30. And just for reference, Bryce Young is going 134 overall right now as far as QB 20 goes. Doesn't really stand out to me much. I mean, until we have landing spots for these guys really to know what their situation is going to be. I personally think Anthony Richardson is going to be at least year one, if he gets a starting job, could be the best fantasy quarterback from this list because of his ability to run the football. I mean, he has that Konami code. You know, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud can move, but they're not athletic. Like, Anthony Richardson could end up being just like an absolute freak of nature in terms of what he can test. He's probably going to run a 4.4. He is not like a smaller quarterback either. No. I mean, he's much more on the Cam Newton size of quarterback. And for him to be able to move at 4.4 like that is special. So Anthony Richardson, though, and there's starting to be a lot of buzz surrounding Anthony Richardson. I've seen people talk about he might be the first quarterback drafted. With a lot of people falling in love with his tools and his running ability. So I do think Anthony Richardson's probably going to end up going higher than this once he gets drafted if he goes to a good spot.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, with the quarterbacks, there's not a ton that stands out. And I do just want to say really quickly that we're going to hit on the rookies first with the ADP. Then we'll just give some of our overall thoughts just across the board, like Kev, like you said, from underdog. Richardson is interesting, though, because as much buzz as there is around him, there's also, like, every scouting report you see is, like, tools, the arm, the running ability, and then following it up with just how, like, inconsistent he can be. I have seen some people start to come to bat for him in terms of, like, his pocket presence and some of his decision-making. So it's going to be really interesting to see, especially if he can go to a place where there might be like a bridge quarterback intact. Something I thought would be, and I did a little article today for one of my jobs talking about what the Detroit Lions could potentially do with their draft picks. And the Lions at six, because they have 6 and 18, the Lions at six would be really interesting. Kind of just like let him sit for a year behind Goff, because then next year they can release Goff. Oh, it's only like a $5 million dead cap hit, and they save like 20-something million against the Caps. Like, I think that would be really interesting, especially given how young that roster is and the talent they're starting to build up there. So, yeah, he's going to be an interesting one. It kind of seems like the early Will Levis hive has started to die off a little bit. Now Anthony Richardson has kind of taken that throne, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reports out there. I mean, this is kind of the good time of the year because we're going to start getting all the reports, kind of where our teams are starting to view these guys. We're going to start really following guys like Dale Jeremiah, who are really, really well connected with this, and start to see where they have some of these guys, and start to give you a good understanding of where some of these teams look at them. And I think most people have said that Anthony Richardson will not fall past the top 15 quarterback. Like, he's going to get drafted. He's probably going to be drafted within the top 10. I think all four of these guys likely go in the top 10. So there is, still a lot of dominoes to fall. What is Chicago going to do? Do they trade down to move out of that spot? They should, but also other teams know this. The teams know that they're not going to trade Justin Fields, so then do they get the package they want to be able to move down to be able to make that happen? We'll see. I know a team like the Colts are definitely looking for a quarterback, so you can see them move up, maybe get a little bit desperate. You got drunk Jim Irsay over there, who tends to pull the strings sometimes. So, we'll see on that. So, I think we don't really need to talk much more about the quarterback position. Like I said, landing spots really going to determine. Yeah. But I will say, I agree. If a team goes to the Lions, like, I think there's going to be a real conversation about that quarterback being the QB1 in Dynasty, whoever that could be, if they do take a quarterback. Because that roster is so loaded right now. One of the best offensive lines in the league. You will not find too many teams that have a better offensive line than what they do. It's young at this point as well. You have Jameson Williams. You have Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think they could also draft another wide receiver in this year. They still have DeAndre Swift. So, like, it is the perfect situation for a rookie quarterback to step into. So, if they do end up taking, especially Anthony Richardson, it's pants off. And I think, actually, Anthony Richardson, if he went to the Lions, would go to QB1. I definitely think that is a real possibility there. That happens in Dynasty, I think that could definitely happen with that landing spot, because you can't ask for anything better than that. So let's switch over to the running backs. You have Bijan Robinson coming off the board at RB4 right now for the running backs. RB4. Like, I knew that he was going to go high. It happens. We've seen it before. We've seen guys like Saquon, Zeke, when they were coming out. Najee Harris, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Saquon.
Jump up into the top 12 running backs their rookie year. Bijan's definitely going to happen. But just seeing him go off the board at RB4 was a little wild to me already. And he hasn't even been drafted yet. Like, we don't even know his situation at this point. But Bijan, we already know he's the GOAT. Then after that, you have Jahmyr Gibbs, who's coming off the board at RB17. You have Zach Charbonnet, RB30. And then there's a massive gap between that to Sean Tucker to RB 40. Then you kind of have a little bit of a run. Devin Achane, RB 43. Tank Bigsby, RB 51. Zach Evans, RB 54. Roshan Johnson, RB 56. Kendre Miller, RB 59. And then you got some other guys like Dwayne McBride, Kenny McIntosh, Deuce Vaughn, Chase Brown, all coming off the board. And then from there, it's kind of just a hodgepodge of guys. But right now, it's kind of a clear-cut top three guys because all of them, Zach Charbonnet, RB 30, is coming off the board at 95. You have to drop all the way down to 137.6 is Sean Tucker. So there's a clear gap between those guys. I think it's fair for those three to be the top running backs right now. I don't think there's a whole lot, changing that right now. Now, obviously, landing spot's going to be huge because opportunity is king in fantasy football. But I really don't have a problem where either any of those three are going. Do you?
Jahmyr Gibbs feels a little pricey to me, especially considering underdog is a half PPR format. To go at RB 17, which it, I looked at that and kind of just I don't know if I'd be willing to pay that for him at this point, just because. And I'm not saying that he's just a pass catching back, but that is going to be where a large chunk of his fantasy value comes from, right? And I slightly get it because, some of the names that are coming up after him, aren't super exciting. Dalvin Cook, who's obviously getting up there in age. I would still prefer Cook over Gibbs for sure. Aaron Jones, obviously without Aaron Rodgers, something we have to see. Like Joe Mixon all the way down at RB 19 now. I think solely based off of the fact that they're talking about him potentially being a cut candidate, right, for the Bengals. And it definitely didn't sound as glowing as it did for T. Higgins whenever they were talking to the Bengals GM about his potential future. But RB 19 for Joe Mixon still just feels a little too low. You got to assume that he lands somewhere where he's going to end up having, a similar role to what he's been having in the league so far. So Gibbs just feels a little too pricey for me at this point. Like you're saying with Bijan, we don't know where these guys are going to land yet. We don't know what kind of situation they're going to be going into. Bijan makes more I would rather draft Bijan at RB 4 than I would Gibbs at RB 17, just because I feel like there's less questions surrounding it, right? Wherever Bijan goes, he's going to get drafted in the first round. He's going to be the workhorse. We know he can catch, athletic freak, all of that. So that was the one that stood out to me in terms of the top three. Charbonnet is really growing on me at RB 30. I really like that price. And then dropping down past some of these guys, I think Kendre Miller at RB 59 at an ADP of 191.9 is super interesting. And then somebody like Israel Abinakanda, someone I talked about on the RB show. And like I said, at that time too, I'm not exactly known for saying nice things about Pittsburgh and especially not Pitt football, but there are reports coming out that this dude could potentially run a 4.3, low 4.4. And if that happens, his value is going to get shot up. So if you're snagging him on best ball, even if you're drafting early on somewhere like FFPC or something like that, and you're getting Abinakanda that late, I think that's an absolute home run.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. Actually, I couldn't help myself to mention that Keaton Mitchell, the guy that I've talked about, that I really want to see where he comes in size-wise in terms of the combine. He's going RB 86, 239. I mean, he's free. He's absolutely free. He's somebody that I definitely would look to take some shots on. We've kind of talked about, how Devin Achane, but it's wild to me how there's so – I mean, there is a massive gap. It's our RB 43 to RB 86 to those two guys. And they're very similar. I mean, very similar size, very similar kind of speed guys. So, I do think Keith Mitchell's a guy that I definitely be looking at. Some other names on here, Roshan Johnson, I think is a name that is starting to gain some buzz as well. Somebody that, really kind of carved out a role, obviously played behind Bijan Robinson at Texas, but to not be surprised with how well he may test at the combine, somebody that could really do himself some favors. So RB 56, I think he should be looking at. I don't love Tank Bigsby coming off the board at RB 6 right now, off the board in terms of the rookie running backs. I'm not all that high on Tank Bigsby. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I know that he was a guy that people were higher on, you know, last year, years prior. You know, this year he kind of fizzled out a little bit, wasn't very good. Now, Auburn wasn't great either. But, you know, Tank Bigsby's not really a guy I love. A lot of these other guys are just going to be, you know, landing spot dependent. Like, Devin Achane could definitely go to a spot. If a team's going to use him correctly, if he tests a little bit higher, comes in a little bit heavier than what he's looking at right now, I think it's possible that maybe we look at Devin Achane a little bit different, especially if he can go to an advantageous spot where he's going to be able to ask to catch passes, you know, a lot more. So I do like that, you know, could be for him. I think, you know, especially in more full PPR, things you have to remember, like with Underdog Fantasy, this is half point PPR. So, you know, pass catching running backs aren't as valuable. You know, if he's not going to have a first or second down role in an offense, he's just going to be a third down back. Then I think that changes how I would view him a little bit. But overall, I still think I don't really have an issue with many of these guys going after that. I think there's still a lot of value. I will say, on Underdog, there seems to be a little bit smarter in terms of people drafting these guys. Because I remember this time last year, like, you could draft Breece Hall. Like, you could have gotten him in, like, the 6th, 7th, 8th round at this time last year. Now, you're getting Bijan Robinson and RB4 off the board. Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, Zach Charbonnet, all going much higher than all these rookies were last year. So some of the edge is gone. Those are kind of the guys that I kind of look at that's kind of stood out to me. Is there anybody else, the running backs, you want to hit on, or do you want to jump over to wide receiver?
No, I think we can jump over to wide receiver. And there, I was a little surprised to see that Jaxon Smith-Njigba was the first wide receiver coming off the board. Seems like there's just been, you know, in draft circles, dynasty, that it's either Addison or Quentin Johnson for the most part at wide receiver one. But on Underdog, it's Jaxon Smith-Njigba, wide receiver 29. Jordan Addison, wide receiver 37. Quentin Johnson, wide receiver 41. Zay Flowers, wide receiver 46. Jalen Hyatt at 49. Josh Downs at 54. Kayshon Butte drops down to 61. Then we have a gap after that going down to Rashee Rice and guys like Marvin Mims, Cedric Tillman, and Penn State great Parker Washington. But anything stand out to you here with the wide receivers, Kev?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that stands out to me with these guys. One, there's such, like, you have a certain group and then it just falls off a cliff. And I think there's actually a lot of, like, honestly, like Cedric Tillman, I think there's, like, I think he could be a second round pick. Like, I think he could be a guy in the NFL draft that goes second, maybe third round. And he's going to wide receiver 99. Like, he's basically going undrafted. Like, he's this guy that people are just throwing in at the very end. And so I think there's a lot of value here. I think there's the guys that people know the names of, and then all these other guys, they're just kind of like, oh, whatever. People are just taking shots on these guys, or a lot of times just going undrafted. Because Cedric Tillman, I mean, wide receiver 99 at that point, you're almost going undrafted at that level of, you know, I know, you know, you draft more wide receivers than Underdog. You know, you'll see teams draft 7 or 8 wide receivers, but still, why, you know, going that late. So there's a lot of value here, I think, in some of these other names. Now, in terms of my, in terms of the early guys, listen, I really do like Quentin Johnson. I think some of the stuff that's been said about him, I think, is a little unfair. Yes, people have brought up he played at TCU, and, you know, we've seen guys like Jalen Reagor and Josh Doxson come from there, you know, and, you know, should I hate that type of analysis. It's not helpful whatsoever. It does not matter that those guys came from there. One, it's a completely different coach now, like, than was coaching like Josh Doxson at that time. So, like, it just doesn't even matter to me. But Quentin Johnson is a guy that I think could go in a wide range, right? I think it's possible he goes early first, like top 15 first. I also think it's possible he could go early second. Like, I think it just depends on what NFL teams look at him. But I also think that he is going to absolutely light up this combat. I think he is going to be a guy, 6'4", 215 pounds. I think he is going to run a 4.4 40, and at that size, people are going to fall in love with that. A lot of people have talked about how athletic he is, and a lot of it shows up with his yards after the catch per reception, which is 11th among all wide receivers in this class. He was 10th in yards per route run. Like, he hits every metric that you're looking at. Now, the only thing you will say, and what I talked about in the wide receiver video that I did about these guys, is that there are times that he flashes and you're like, is that Randy Moss out there mossing people? And then there's other times he just completely disappears and he's gone. And that's kind of the biggest red flag that you have against him. But I think he has the potential to be a true dominant alpha wide receiver in this class. And so, because there's question marks here with these guys. Like, if you get to Jordan Addison, like, Jordan Addison could end up testing. He's not 6 foot. I don't think he's going to be 6 foot. I think he could be But if he's 5'10", 170, we're going to have some problems with that height, right? And a lot of that's how a lot of these guys are. Like Jackson Smith and Jigba, I don't think he's going to test at all at the combine. Because it sounds like he may not even be athletic. And I don't think that he is. And honestly, it doesn't matter. Like, unless he goes out there and runs like a 4.9 or something crazy. But like, if he runs a 4.5, it doesn't matter. Like, Amon Ross St. Brown wasn't some athletic specimen whenever he came out of USC. And we see what happened there, right? And so it doesn't really matter. Jack Smith Jigba, I still think, is that guy. But overall, I do think most of these guys are going in a fair range. Like, I do think, you know, like wide receiver 73rd overall for Jordan Addison is too high. Jackson Smith Jigba going 56.3 is too high for rookies, right? And I think that we've gotten so used to seeing these rookie wide receivers break out like Jamar Chase did, and a lot of these other wide receivers that just go off in their rookie year. I don't think this class is this. Like, I like this rookie class, this wide receiver rookie class. I don't think it has that dominant alpha wide receiver. We may not have a wide receiver in this class that turns out to be a number one wide receiver or a wide receiver one in fantasy, if you will. We could end up having a bunch of guys who are wide receiver twos, wide receiver threes. So I think some of these guys are being a little bit overdrafted. So I would rather take some of these guys that are going a little bit later, like a Zay Flowers, who's going 93rd overall. I think he is a little bit safer. I love Zay Flowers. And I don't know if you saw the picture on Twitter. I guess he's been yoking up. And that dude has put on like 10 to 15 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Because have you watched Zay Flowers yet? Because we didn't do that. So I can't. So I don't know. Have you got to watch him?
I like him a lot. I like him a lot.
The watching him play is like 6 to midnight. Like watching what he can do on that. Like it really does kind of remind me. I kind of compared it like in the video. Like he kind of reminds me a little bit of Kadarius Toney. Like with what he's able to do in open field and be able to make guys miss, that ability is special to me. And yes, he is also on a little bit of the smaller side, 5'11", 5'10". But I think he's going to come in at probably 185. And if he does, Zay Flowers is going to be the dude for me that I'm going to love. Because like watching him is so much fun.
Yeah, and for him being a smaller wide receiver as well, like he like doesn't go down easy. He said run after the catch. He is a fun watch. I do like him a lot. The only other thing I really have to add to the conversation, much like you were talking about with Cedric Tillman potentially being a day two draft pick, say the same thing for Parker Washington. It's not, you know, not full homer status here, but I think Washington's being looked at as potentially having some of the best hands in this entire group. So getting him at, you know, 105, 238 overall is a nice price there. But the other guy I just wanted to mention was Jalin Hyatt at wide receiver 49. You were talking about Tillman. For someone who is being expected to come out and run a 4.3 at the combine, you know, especially a platform like Underdog that is best ball, like that's what you want, right? Like you want the ability for a guy like Hyatt to go, you know, 3, 4, 105, and 2. You know what I mean? Like that's well within his range of possibilities. So I really like getting Hyatt there, especially for someone who's getting buzz, who is in, you know, some people's top 3 to 4, sliding down here slightly. Yeah, Hyatt is the other guy that stands out here to me, and I think we can go ahead and move on to tight end. Michael Mayer, obviously being the guy that everyone's been talking about, you know, especially in Dynasty and Devy circles for the past 3 years. He is tight end 18 already, 155 overall. Then we have Dalton Kincaid at 27, Luke Musgrave at tight end 34, Darnell Washington at tight end 35, and Sam Laporta at tight end 41. Kev, any thoughts here with the rookie tight ends?
Yeah, I think right now you could actually look at Dalton Kincaid as kind of a value right now compared to he's going at 27, 201, and Michael Mayer is going so much higher than he is. Right now, like I'm seeing mocks like Daniel Jeremiah putting Kincaid ahead of Michael Mayer and Kincaid being drafted in the top 15.
Like, did you happen to see where he had Kincaid ranked over among all players?
I did not see that.
10th.
Yeah.
He's 10th on Jeremiah's big board.
Well, I mean, the production's there, right? So in 2022, he posted 70 catches, 93 targets, 890 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. He checks all the marks. I mean, he was second in yards per route run among all tight ends, third in missed tackles forced. I think he has more athleticism than Michael Mayer does. Like, I think Mayer is just an overall great tight end. Like, I think you can ask him. I think he is a
to
good,
do everything.
Yes, yeah. Like, he's, but he also checks the boxes, you know, in the production as well. 67 catches, 809 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns. He was actually first in yards per route run, and seventh in missed tackles forced. I think he is much more of an inline tight end where you look at Kincaid. I think he's going to be a little bit more of a, you know, a move tight end, somebody who plays more on the outside and stuff like that. And so I do think Kincaid, I think, considering how much later he is going in this, in terms of the underdog, I think I love that, taking shots at him, because if he can land in the right spot, I think that he can be very solid. I think the only thing he really needs to improve upon is being an inline blocker, but I really don't care about that in terms of fantasy football. And we've seen a lot of other tight ends that don't, teams don't really ask them to do that, and that's fine. They have another guy on the roster who they will ask to come in and do that. Now, yes, it takes them off the field a little bit in certain situations, but overall, I think Dalton Kincaid, I think, is a really solid tight end. Another guy that is not on this list, and it doesn't surprise me because it's tight end, right? People aren't all that excited to draft tight ends, but somebody I really like is Tucker Kraft. From San Diego State, not just because Dallas Goedert went there, but he is 6'5", 255 pounds. He is going to be a little bit more raw, somebody that didn't get as much action, only 38 targets in 2022, 348 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns. But dude has excellent size, lines up everywhere. I think he flashes excellent ball skills, but he was 5th in yards per route run, 5th in yards after the catch per reception as well, and 19th in missed tackles forced, which is super impressive considering he played such limited opportunities. And so I think Tucker Kraft is somebody that I really like. I think he probably goes in the top 3 rounds of the NFL draft. This is one of the better NFL drafts for tight ends we've seen in a while. Like, there's a lot of names in this group. But I will say last year he did suffer an ankle injury that did cost him the 5 games. That's why he had limited sample size. But the athleticism is definitely there. I think he surely shows excellent ball skills, body control. I think he's an okay route runner, not great, not bad. I think he's an okay blocker, but very, very good athleticism. So I think Tucker Kraft, who's not even being drafted right now, is a name that people definitely should be taking some shots on. And then I also think Darnell Washington is like a super interesting name. 6'7", 270 pounds. He is, I think, the best blocking tight end in this entire group. Has some, you know, I mean, he's, I think he has freakish athleticism. For a guy his size to be 6'7", 270 pounds, like, I think if he absolutely wanted to, if he wanted to put on 25, 30 pounds, he could be an offensive lineman if he really wanted to do that. He is that good of a blocker. But that's what worries me with him. Is I think that's what teams are going to ask him to do and just be much more of a blocker. He's going to be utilized. He's not going to be utilized all that much. I don't think he's that he's not as attractive as an option for me, because I think teams are just going to utilize it much more like that. Kind of like a Jonnu Smith, right? See, Jonnu Smith has this crazy athleticism, but no team has ever really given him some sort of full workload to be a tight end. They've always valued him more as a blocker than they have as just being like kind of a true tight end. And some guy's going to get 80, 90, 100 targets. It's not going to happen. And that's kind of how I view Darnell Washington.
Following the end of the college season too, I was seeing his name floated like, in the first round, potentially. Like, I don't think he's going to get that type of draft capital, but he's definitely somebody. I was seeing him mocked to the Bengals a bunch. Obviously, if you know, I definitely don't think they should take him in the first, but if he can slide into day two, he might be an interesting name to watch there, just because, you know, obviously they did need some help on the line. So if he can help blocking there, and if he can just be like that middle of the field type of safety blanket, whenever you have Higgins and Chase running down the field, that could be an interesting fit for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's like, cause he's not like a great separator, either, but it's just his absence. He's just such a monster of a man, 6'7", 270. He's going to be a monster in the red zone. So I could see team utilizing him there, but I just don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to be like an every down tight end guy that we're seeing get a lot of opportunity there. So that's the only thing that worries me with him. So Overall, I mean, Michael Mayer, Dalton Kincaid, I think right now are kind of the top two, like, easy slam dunk guys for me. And then I think another guy like Tucker Kraft, and then I think Luke Musgrave is going to get some attention as well from Oregon State. Another guy that's probably going to be going in the top 3 rounds of the NFL draft, 6'6", 250. Again, very limited opportunities. 11 receptions on 15 targets last year for 169 receiving yards and a touchdown. But I will say, I think for a player his size, he has excellent speed. And I think he's still extremely raw. Definitely could learn to be a better route runner. He's an okay blocker. I think he definitely could improve in run blocking and stuff like that. So I think he's another name that probably goes in the top three rounds of the NFL draft, but somebody that's going to be much more of a project. And that's what we typically see anyways from a lot of these tight ends. It takes 3 or 4 years for them to kind of really latch on and learn, you know, the system. So overall, I think those are the top guys in terms of tight ends. So we kind of went through all the rookies. I think that's kind of what stands out. Like, obviously, we need the combine. And more so than anything, we need the NFL draft to happen to be able to see where all these guys are going to come. We need free agency to happen to kind of get some of this stuff. But because we have a ton of players that are, like, especially at running back, a massive list of players that are free agents. We just had Leonard Fournette that was cut from the Buccaneers. I know people are losing their minds over Rashad White, which I think is a bad mistake because you are looking at a team that probably doesn't have the best offensive line that struggled with Tom Brady, and now they have no quarterback. I don't know what the hell they're going to do, but everybody's falling in love with Rashad White. Like, man, look at all the receptions that Leonard Fournette and Rashad White had last year. That's because they threw the ball 730 fucking times. They're not going to throw the ball that much this year. They're probably going to drop down to like 550, 600, because I don't see them getting anybody. I mean, they're going to be picking so late. They're not going to have to be able to draft any of the top guys. What they need to do is blow this thing up and start over. It worked. You got Tom Brady. You got a Super Bowl out of it. You won a Super Bowl. That's all you can ask for. It's exactly what they did it for. It worked. Now is the time to blow it up. You probably trade guys like Mike Evans. If you can trade Chris Godwin, though, he'll be a little bit tougher because of his dead cap money. But you get rid of these guys, rebuild, and move on. And, you know, suck for Caleb Williams next year. And that's what they should do. Now, will they? I don't know. But a guy like Rashad White, like, I've just seen a lot of buzz with him. Like, no thanks. No fucking thank you. Do I want any part of that situation? And unless they do something crazy, they're able to acquire another quarterback and they're able to withstand. But they're still not going to throw the ball 700 times because they don't have Tom Brady. So anyways, let's kind of move on here and kind of transition to just kind of an overall theme of the ADP and kind of what we're looking at. So why don't you lead it off here for us here with this conversation so we can just kind of do a little more broad overview.
Yeah, so I just want to run through, you know, maybe we'll rattle off like the top four rounds, and then we'll kind of just give some overall thoughts on what's going on with ADP right now. Just for the people who may not be doing underdog drafts at this point, still it's so early. But just to give the folks at home, so to speak, an idea of who is going where at this point. So first round, we have Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Christian McCaffrey, Travis Kelce, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Austin Eckler, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, and Jonathan Taylor rounds out the top 12. So, I mean, the things that stood out to me here in the first round, Travis Kelce at 104, not saying that it isn't warranted because he's obviously the biggest difference maker at tight end, right? But this just feels like an overcorrection from last year. Like last year, he was what, like back end of the first, early in that, you know, that round two turn. For him to jump all the way up to 104 and like
sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
That cliff is coming at some point, right? Like, he didn't show any signs of slowing down this year. Obviously, Patty Mahomes still there. They're still going to have the questions at running back again, still going to have the questions at wide receiver again. So Travis Kelce is locked in, but like being at 104 like that, like as soon as I saw that, I was just like, damn, like that, I don't know, man. Like that just feels super early. And I tend to not love whenever I go like early tight end. Like I just tend to not like how my teams turn out just in general. I can't imagine doing it 104, let alone, you know, 112, 201. So that was something interesting that stuck out to me. Kev, you had an interesting point about the running backs, which didn't even cross my mind. But obviously, as I'm reading through that list, You were the one that pointed out three running backs in the first round.
Yeah, that's wild to me, right? Normally it's opposite because we have eight wide receivers and one tight end going in the first round, but only three running backs. Like, usually it's flipped. Usually it's eight or nine running backs going in the first round. You have two or three wide receivers and possibly a tight end like Travis Kelce, and it's completely flipped. And what's happened is because of what happened last year, people are overcorrecting because so many running backs busted out last year, and we're seeing this overcorrection of everybody drafting wide receiver early. And it's a huge mistake. We've seen this before. We saw it two or three years ago where the running back position was shit. And everybody was like, oh, see, that's what everyone was touting zero RB, which I've always been a proponent of zero RB. And everybody, when that happened, zero RB looked great. Next year, everybody did zero RB. If everybody does zero RB this year, it is a bad strategy because that's the whole point of zero RB, is because you're able to zig when everybody else zags, right? So that if that's what happens, and everybody's drafting wide receiver, we see eight or nine wide receivers get drafted in the first round, you should be smashing running back because you're going to get a tremendous value. Jonathan Taylor at RB3 is coming off the board 12th overall. That's insane. Like, normally we see usually the first five picks of any draft, season long, whatever, is usually all running backs, right? You might get one wide receiver like a Calvin Johnson or Antonio Brown who will slip up there, or Michael Thomas, whatever, that year he went off. Like, these things happen. We'll see one. But to see all of these wide receivers go in the first round is going to be an overcorrection, and people are going to be really upset that they went this way. And not to mention that Underdog is a half-point PPR site. It's not even full PPR. And so that, to me, makes it even more confounding that how all these running backs are falling. So right now, running backs is an excellent value. You can really get really solid running backs right now at a really good discount. It's exactly what's going to happen. I totally agree with you with Travis Kelce. Here's the thing that I think is going to happen with Travis Kelce. I don't think Travis Kelce is going to fall off, but we started to see it last year. We started to see his snap count start to drop, and they start to get more conservative with where they utilize him. He's not going to be on the field as much. And I think that is what you're going to see with Travis Kelce, is they're not going to play with much. I think you can see him drop down to possibly where he plays 60, 70% of the snaps. Now, don't get me wrong, he's still going to see a lot of targets because he's still Patrick Mahomes' best option. But taking him fourth overall is not it. Like, I could not imagine taking him that high. So those are the situation at the first round. Like I said, we're seeing an overcorrection at wide receiver. Way too many running backs are slipping, and you're going to see it throughout this list because I think what we got to like RB24, who was going ridiculously low. It's just wild how many more wide receivers are going ahead of them. So I'll jump over to the second round, read that off. You have Bijan going at 13-2. Then you have Saquon, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Allen, Jalen Waddle, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Garrett Wilson, Derrick Henry, T. Higgins, and Devontae Smith, and Kenneth Walker, rounding that up from there. So obviously we see three quarterbacks go in this range, 16 and a half, 18.1, and Jalen Hurts at 18.7. It's kind of one thing that really stood out to me here, seeing this many quarterbacks go this early, in this group. Again, running backs. You're only at the RB7 coming off the board through two rounds right now in terms of how this is playing out. And obviously the quarterbacks are also pushing down running backs as well. Three quarterbacks going inside the top. I still believe, I will not be shocked if we see, once we get to season long stuff in August, that we see a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen go in the first round of drafts. I will not be shocked. We saw just how those three guys, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen, really affected things. I mean, they went on a such a serious heater last year, and they were such a huge cheat code last year that people are going to overcorrect and people are going to overdraft quarterbacks. What is your thoughts about this second round?
Yeah, I mean, other than seeing three quarterbacks go in the second round, which never thought I would see, like we're always like, man, like taking, Josh Allen at 24 is like, I can't do it. But if Patrick Mahomes slips like 303, maybe. Nope, not anymore. Second round is where they're going to start going now. The one name that really jumped out to me was Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now listen, if you watched our show 2 years ago when ARSB was a rookie, I couldn't go a show without talking about him. I was pounding the table for him. But at this price, you are drafting him at his ceiling, right? Like wide receiver, what, 8 or 9, I think. He's obviously been a stud on the back of elite volume. He had a 28% target share this year. He was third overall in target rate, just in terms of targets per route run. It's like Jameson Williams doesn't exist. Like, it's like he's not there. Like, he is going to be healthy this year. He's going to be a bigger part of this team. We can't forget that they traded up all the way from, what was it, 32 up to 12 to take him. They basically knew at that point, too, that it was going to more or less be a redshirt type of year for him with how late he tore his ACL. You mentioned it at the beginning of the show. Like, they could potentially be looking at drafting another wide receiver as well, because that room is really thin. You know, even before DJ Chark was a free agent, that was a thin room, and now Chark is gone. So I think they could be looking at that. They could also be a team that's in line to be drafting one of these tight ends as well, obviously, because they traded away TJ Hawkinson. So I think you're drafting him at his ceiling, his absolute ceiling. And it's like not taking into account what the Lions could potentially be doing. And like, especially if they can improve that defense as well, right? Like, part of the reason why he was seeing so much volume is because the lack of other options, and because they were playing from behind and in these shootouts, these crazy shootouts all the time. So we could see that correct itself a little bit. And then Garrett Wilson at 20th overall. Like, that just, like, he is being drafted as if they have the fix at quarterback already. Like, we have no idea what his quarterback's going to be. Like, we think he's going to have a better situation, because it sure as hell can't get much worse than Zach Wilson and Mike White there. But we think that all the time, and then these situations don't necessarily improve that much. We also have to remember they got basically no production out of tight end. Corey Davis was in and out of the lineup all year last year. Elijah Moore wanted to be traded, so he wasn't being played. Like it was really, you know, not taking anything away from Garrett Wilson, because if you can get him in Dynasty, he's definitely somebody I want to have. But at 20th overall, man, I can't do it. I can't do Garrett Wilson at 20th overall.
Yeah, that's 20th overall is steep, is really steep. And again, it goes to show, because these guys are getting so steamed up right now, like, that's wild. Like, normally your wide receiver 20 is going in like fourth, fifth, or sixth round, something like that. Like it's much later. And so, like, it doesn't look nearly as good when you have to take them 15th, or, you know, was it 15th overall or 19th overall. And so, yeah, like, I agree. Like, if they could get like an Aaron Rodgers or like Derek Carr, like, I don't know what to think. Like, Derek Carr, he's never really, like, I know that obviously Devontae Adams, but he's not Devontae Adams either. And so, like, Garrett Wilson's not, I mean, the one of the best wide receivers we've ever seen, right? With Devontae Adams, with everything he's able to do. But like Derek Carr, like, I wouldn't fall as much in love with Garrett Wilson if it's Derek Carr. Now, if it's Aaron Rodgers, I still think Aaron Rodgers has something to prove. I think Aaron Rodgers is still a good quarterback. I know people want to just bury him and think that he's terrible. I don't think that's the case. And so if it was Aaron Rodgers, I'd feel a little bit better about Garrett Wilson. And I think that maybe it's a little bit still not 19th overall good. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that he's going 19th overall. Like, that is way too high. But that's where wide receivers are going, and they're such an incredible run. T. Higgins is going after he is.
Give me T. Higgins.
You know, T. Higgins is going after he is. Devonta Smith, DK Metcalf is going after he is. Like, what are we doing, people? Like, I like Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson, I think, is going to be a baller. Like, I think Garrett Wilson is very good. Yeah. But he's not that good, okay? Especially in the situation that he's in. Like, that is a major overcorrection there. So, yes, I totally agree with that. That's wild. So, the next round, you have Breece Hall, DK Metcalf, Nick Chubb, Chris Olave, Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Joe Burrow, Deebo Samuel, Mark Andrews, Ramondre Stevenson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Amari Cooper coming off the board there. I'm going to say the first thing that stood out to me was Breece Hall. Breece Hall, RB8. I've seen a lot of people, I've seen people on Twitter talk about him and like how people are excited about him. Could have him as like inside their top 10. I think that's a huge mistake. I love Breece Hall. Like, I was the Breece Hall on the bandwagon, loved Breece Hall last year before, you know, when he was coming out. And he's fantastic this year. Yes, his ACL injury is not as bad as Javonte Williams. Sounds like it was a simple tear. Like, it wasn't no other ligaments were involved. It was just a straight ACL tear. But we just see it too much with these running backs. It takes them time to come back and be ready. And they're just not the same guy their first year back from this injury. Like, we want to take them in the second year. Like, look at Saquon Barkley. Perfect example of that. Somebody that really struggled his first year back, was not looking like the same guy. This year, he comes back year two and just looks like Saquon again. Super explosive. Back to being him. And so I just can't fuck with Breece Hall at RB8. Like, if he's going to go even inside the top 12 of running backs, I'm out. I will not draft any Breece Hall because it's just too high for him. Love the player. I think he's still going to be a fantastic player, I think, moving forward, you know, once you get past this year. But this year, I just can't mess with him.
Yeah, same. It's something that we talked about, I think, at the end of the season, or maybe it was whenever we were doing our way too early rankings. And that was those are a couple of the names that we touched on. The thing that jumps out to me here is, like, nothing necessarily negative compared to the first two rounds. But if these running backs stay in this range, there are going to be a lot of happy fantasy players, right? Like Nick Chubb. Like, if I were just to tell you, like, Nick Chubb, RB9, you'd be like, oh, okay. Like that makes sense. 27th overall. You know what I mean? Beginning of the third round. Fantastic. Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, and then even Ramondre Stevenson, you know, RB12. It's like, man, he's getting up there. But nope, we're still talking about toward the end of the third. I think it's going to be interesting to obviously see where DeAndre Hopkins lands. That was a piece of news that feels almost forgotten at this point, is the fact that, like, they were putting him on the block as early as they were. So I think he's interesting at wide receiver 17. And same thing with Amari Cooper. Obviously, we saw him ball out with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. Deshaun Watson comes in and did not look good. But I think it's just a fact of the matter that he didn't play football for 2 years, right? Like, you know, maybe he doesn't get back to how we viewed him as, like, a top five quarterback in Houston. But I think it's at least somewhere in the middle. I don't think it's going to be all the way as poorly as he played. So Amari Cooper, wide receiver 18, is definitely a price I can get behind. And then let's just go through the fourth round here, and then we can start just talking about any overall thoughts we have outside of that. But the next quarterbacks coming off the board, we have Justin Fields at the top of the fourth, followed by Lamar Jackson, Tony Pollard, Mike Williams, Calvin Ridley, baby, TJ Hawkinson, Christian Watson, Najee Harris, Michael Pittman, George Kittle, Justin Herbert, and Christian Kirk rounding out the top four rounds. Let's you know, the elephant in the room here, Calvin Ridley. I mean, I ranked him pretty generously whenever we did our way too early rankings, you know, a month ago or so, whenever that was, maybe 2 months ago at this point. But Calvin Ridley, a wide receiver 20, 41 overall. As excited as I am to see him back on the field, I don't know if I have the cojones to to do that, man. That is just a hefty price. And I think I ranked him like around, I think I had him as like a high-end wide receiver too. So he's obviously going later than what I had him as a wide receiver 20. But like I said, 41 overall, can't do it. Can't do that. You know, Christian Watson is interesting here. You know, wide receiver 21. Again, is Aaron Rodgers going to be there or not? Like, we don't know yet. But, you know, we saw Green Bay want to utilize him in a bunch of different ways. So he's definitely a name going to be keeping track of. And I think if Aaron Rodgers leaves, we're going to see that price drop pretty drastically as well. And Mike Williams being at wide receiver 19, it was definitely not a name I was expecting to see there, especially just with how, like, his season ended, you know, being banged up. He was someone that, like, a lot of people were pointing to as being injury prone, that he has the season he had. You know, maybe some of that has to do with the report that Keenan Allen could be a cap casualty. Doesn't look like it's going to be the way now, but maybe that is what's been driving his price a little bit. I was just a little shocked to see that he was up here at wide receiver 19. But what stands out to you in the fourth here, Kev?
You nailed it, Calvin Ridley. Like, I just Like, it's listen, like, I like Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley, he's not like he's an older player. Yes, he missed all of last year. He also only played 5 games. He hasn't played a full season since 2020. So, you know, he's still only 28 years old. Like, he's not like over the hill or anything like that. But, like, this is a different situation. There's a lot more weapons here in Jacksonville than what the situation he came from in Atlanta. I mean, it was kind of just him and Julio, you know, and Julio, you know, would miss time and all this other stuff. Like, this is a different situation. You still have Christian Kirk here, who was the wide receiver 1 from this team last year. Zay Jones is still going to be there as well. He's going to command targets. We'll have to see what's going to happen with Evan Ingram. You know, do they bring him back or do they bring in another tight end? Like, I just don't know if there's going to be enough for him to see the volume that he saw with, you know, in Atlanta, right? Like, his best year he had, which was wide receiver 4 in fantasy points per game in 2020. But that was off the backs of 143 targets. He had 1,300 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. Like, I still think that he's a good wide receiver. But, man, like, I just don't know. But also, maybe it's just one of those situations because we haven't seen him for so long, right? Like, where it's like, oh, maybe this is – but if he was a guy that had been playing this entire time and he was coming off the board at wide receiver 20, we probably would have a different opinion on that and say, well, okay, he's going too low, right? And so, yeah. Like, I think it could go either way, but I do think there's some risk there for considering how long he's been out. And I think just being in a different situation in general with all the other options there. This isn't just a situation he's going to walk into and command 150 targets. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think there's likelier that he lands 115, 120, maybe 130 targets with this offense here this year. So I do think that one kind of stood out to me a little bit. And I also think I know this is, I think, just a little bit past, but Chris Godwin, he's going too high. I know it's wide receiver 24, so it doesn't seem that bad, but 49th overall, can't do it. Unless I know who the quarterback is and unless it's somebody that I feel really comfortable about, which I don't, I think there's still a possibility they could go with Kyle Trask at quarterback. Again, this is a team that probably wants to try to tank a little bit and get a franchise quarterback next year. There is a really, really good one coming out next year with Caleb Williams. Now, we say that now. We'll see what happens because, you know, I remember all last year talking about, you know, like Jack Smith and Jigba. Like, it was like he's the unquestioned number one wide receiver coming out next year. And now, like, there's a lot of people that's like, ah, whatever. Like, he's not that good, whatever. Like, it's just what happens. So, anyways, yeah. Caleb Williams still is probably the number one guy next year. Everybody's going to want. It's going to be suck for Caleb Williams' season. So I just can't really draft any Bucs wide receiver, especially 49th overall. That's too much. So, Cody, outside of the top 4 rounds, like, what is there anybody that, like, you stands out to as, like, players you're like, you think it's good value, players that you would like to take advantage of, or anything that stands out to you past these guys?
Also rough with a negative. Damian Pierce going in the 6th round. Now, again, you know, all these running backs are getting pushed down, so it's not the end of the world. And by the time that, you know, most people who are drafting are going to be drafting in August, like, we're going to have the main piece to this puzzle, and that is whether or not Houston takes a running back with, you know, equal or higher draft capital compared to what Damian Pierce had last year. Like, we've seen this happen now. You know, Michael Carter had himself a nice year. No one was really pegging the Jets to especially trade up to take someone like Breece Hall. They did it. So this in the 6th is either going to make the people that are drafting him very happy or very sad. You know what I mean? Like, I would much rather wait 20 picks and take someone like Tyler Algier, who's obviously in a similar situation where he could just be Michael Carter and, you know, not and lose his starting job just because of the lack of draft capital surrounding him. So that's one of the ones I saw that I was just like, man, like I wouldn't be doing that at this point, right? Like, obviously, if they don't end up drafting anyone of any significance, then that, like, that's a fine spot, you know. But especially with the running backs being pushed down now, like, Damian Pierce in the 6th, like, doesn't sound like as exciting as it potentially should. David Njoku at tight end 9, if he stays at that spot, he's probably going to be one of my favorite tight end targets. ADP of 99.3 right now. Kev, your boy Khalil Herbert at RB32. Similar situation with Damian Pierce, just because, like, we still need to see what happens a little bit. And then that's obviously going to affect and change things big time by the time that, you know, draft season rolls around. But if David Montgomery isn't back, I think obviously one, Herbert's ADP shoots up a little bit, assuming they don't do anything crazy at running back in the draft, which they absolutely shouldn't, considering the holes they still have and trying to build around Justin Fields. But that is something that's very interesting. Although I do think it's sneaky for Monty to go back to Chicago just because of how much money Chicago has and how poor this free agent class is. Like, could they go out and maybe drop a huge bag for somebody like Orlando Brown at a position where they could definitely use it in Chicago? Sure. Then they're still going to have a shit ton of money still left. So I think it's sneaky for him to go back and would kind of squash Khalil Herbert's value. And another one that stuck out to me, apparently I'm just all in on the Browns because Donovan's Peoples-Jones, a wide receiver 52, especially in a best ball setting, that's definitely a price I can get behind. Those were some of the bigger things that stood out to me. What about you?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few, but I think there's definitely some names that I think that we should be monitoring here. So I think one that stood out to me was Treylon Burks going at 76.3. I think that he has kind of been pushed down at this point. Yes, it's with the Titans, but I think if he can stay healthy, I mean, he was somebody that battled a lot of injuries this year, but definitely showed that he is their best wide receiver. And he's in a situation where there's just not a lot of other options there. Like, it's not a team that's loaded with a lot of wide receiver talent. Like, yes, they could end up being a team that signs somebody or they draft somebody, but I still think that he's the best wide receiver they have on this team. And I think that that he's somebody that we definitely should be taking a look at. Like, I think he showed and the limited sample size we saw that he can be a dominant wide receiver here, that they hit on another really solid option. So considering he's coming off the board at wide receiver 39 or 76 overall, I do like I do like that for him. Cam Akers, RB 24, 80th overall, I think is too low for him. You know, I do think Cam Akers, I think what we saw from him, you know, it took him a while to kind of get things going, get things right. Crazy situation. We've talked about it, but over the last 6 weeks of the season, he was the RB3 overall over that span. So 300-yard games over that. So, you know, I think, you know, when you'll have Matt Stafford back healthy, this offense should be a little bit better. Should rebound a little bit from what it was last year. I don't think that team is as bad. They should be able to, you know, invest a little bit in the offensive line, maybe with the limited draft capital they have because, they traded away some of their picks. But it looks like they could possibly be looking to trade like a Jalen Ramsey to add more draft capital back. Which probably would be smart for them. But so I do think Cam Akers at RB24 is somebody that we could look at as well. And then I think some other guys that, you know, a little bit later here that really stood out to me. One was Isaiah Hodgins. Like, he might be that good, right? Like, yes, a guy that came off the street from Buffalo, signs with the Giants, and just immediately steps in and says, no, I'm the alpha here. And I'm going to, and really was kind of, you know, sneaky, so really a sneaky option. And there's not a whole lot of other options there. I mean, they cut Kenny Golladay, thankfully, one of the worst decisions that Dave Gettleman did. But Dave Gettleman was such a terrible GM. We knew that whenever they made the decision to bring him in there. But, you know, Kenny Golladay is gone. Sterling Shepard's a free agent. They still have Wandale. They traded Kadarius Toney, you know, and so they don't have a lot there. And so Isaiah Hodgins could easily be the number one wide receiver on this offense next year. Yeah, we'll still have to see with Daniel Jones and what they do with him. I do think they're going to bring him back one way or the other. I just can't see them letting Daniel Jones walk. Now, Daniel Jones, listen, bro, I've kind of been on your bandwagon for a while, but we can't be asking for $45 million a year, bro. Like, I get your money, get your paper, however you can, but don't be asking for $45 million, okay? You had one good year. Yes, you did it with a bunch of nobodies, but let's pump the brakes. You don't need to be asking for $45 million, okay? You know, take another, you know, a short-term deal, prove yourself that you're the guy, and then you can get that paper. But you can't be out here asking for $45 million, bro. But that's not far away from Patrick Mahomes' money. Like, stop it. So, but I do think Isaiah Hodgins, I think, is a guy I really like. Kenneth Gainwell going 124.6. I really like him. I don't think they're going to bring Miles Sanders is not going to be back. I think it's possible that they don't really do a lot to address the position. So I do think that Kenneth Gainwell could end up being the guy for them next year, their number one running back. So being able to get him 124th overall, I do like that as well for somebody like him. So, you know, I think, you know, once you get past this, I think you just start taking some shots in some of these guys, right? Like, I think Michael Gallup, you know, he was coming off ACL. We don't want to admit that. We just want to say Michael Gallup was terrible. But Michael Gallup was coming off a really, really late in the process ACL tear. And so he's going 148.1. The Cowboys are kind of in a rough spot because they don't really have much cap space to work with. So they're not going to be a team that's going to be able to go out and make some sign some players and stuff like that. So maybe they can address through the draft. They drafted Jalen Tolbert last year, did absolutely nothing for them. So Michael Gallup going at 148.1 overall, I think is solid as well. And then you got Alec Pierce, 153.6. I don't know what they're going to do because right now Paris Campbell's a free agent. They still have Michael Pittman there. Jelani Woods is still there, but you know they're going to draft a quarterback. They're going to get their franchise quarterback. That quarterback is likely going to step right in and start from day one. So whether that's C.J. Stroud, whether that's Bryce Young, like one of those two guys is likely going to be the starting quarterback for the Colts, and they don't really have anybody else to throw the ball to. It's Michael Pittman and Jelani Woods. And so Alec Pierce, who was a second-round pick last year, had some moments this past year, but that offense we know was absolutely anemic with Matt Ryan and all the other bums they were trying to throw out there. So Alec Pierce at 153.6 with his really solid speed, somebody that really started to come on, flashed at times last year. I think Alec Pierce at 153.6, I think is another guy that we could take a look at here as well as kind of a late round guy that I think is just being a little bit undervalued right now.
Yeah, just to add on to your Michael Gallup point real quick, something I feel like wasn't really talked about and it's kind of been like swept under the rug. Gallup also had two additional surgeries at the end of the season. He had arthroscopic surgery for his meniscus in his right knee. Then he also cleaned up his right ankle as well. So, you know, who knows if that was, you know, all related or, you know, when that was picked up, but he was someone that we liked coming into this year, even with that late ACL because of how late he was going. Did not look good, you know, throughout the season at all, but maybe the fact that he had to get two surgeries at the end of the season played a big part of it. So I like that call. The Treylon Burks, love that call out as well. Like, give me Treylon Burks at his price over Garrett Wilson at his, like, easily. Like, that shouldn't be a hot take. Chris Olave was going cut right after Garrett Wilson. I think he went the next round. Like, give me Burks at his price over those guys at their prices. And then Chig Okonkwo at tight end 16. I think he's going to be like the late round tight end that ends up not being a late round tight end because he's going to get pushed up. I think people are going to start looking into, you know, what he was able to do on limited opportunities, limited snaps that he saw. Austin Hooper now out of the way, you know, and like you said, there's nothing else there. And as much as they want to run Derrick Henry, that one's coming too. Like that cliff is coming as well. Like we have been praying on his downfall for, you know, the past 3 years. It feels like eventually we're going to be right. Eventually that is going to come. But, you know, especially with now having some offensive line questions, those good times are going to be coming to an end. So that was the other one. And then Jaylen Warren, you know, for a zero RB fan, he's almost going with an ADP of 200. I just feel like, you know, we saw him step in and produce for, you know, pretty decently when Najee Harris went down. We kind of saw them split it somewhat, and then Najee Harris ended up taking over down the stretch. But I think Jaylen Warren, and, you know, especially again for a zero RB type of play for as late as he's going, I think it was like RB 60, is interesting. And I definitely did not have on my bingo card that I would be saying two nice things about Pitt or Pittsburgh players, but it's the off season and here we are.
Yeah. And I think in terms of just like some, you know, later round running back options, I think that a couple of names that stood out to me. One, Alexander Mattison is a free agent this year. So right now there's no running back behind really of Dalvin Cook, except for Ty Chandler, who they brought in last year. I believe they put him on IR early in the process. And so, but he's somebody that they really kind of talked about in the preseason that they really liked. I think he flashed at times there as well. Now this could definitely be a situation where they draft another running back or bring somebody else in and kind of nuke that. But 238 or RB 80 is definitely pretty easy to latch onto. And then Zamir White is actually going, because right now, I mean, he's technically the starting running back for the Raiders right now, right? I mean, Josh Jacobs is a free agent. He's going RB 63, 209th overall. So I think that you could look at him. Now, again, you know, that obviously Josh McDaniels did draft him last year. didn't really get much of an opportunity. I don't know what the hell is going to happen with Josh Jacobs at this point, where he lands. Does he go back to the Raiders? I think it's possible he could go back to the Raiders. But if he doesn't, maybe they bring somebody else in. But, you know, Zamir White could also be a guy that is going super late that we could take, you know, you could look, take some shots on, because he may end up being that starting running back for them, or at least, you know, have a significant role for them anyways. You know, and I think as well. So I think that's kind of what stands out to me. Now, there's a lot. I mean, we could sit here and talk all day about guys that, you know, I think are late round guys you could take a look at and take shots on. But I think right now, like, those are the names that kind of really stood out to me. Is there anybody else for you?
I think it's it for me for now, man. I think we covered a lot of names, hit on the rookies.
Yeah,
but like you said, there's a ton that still needs to shake out with free agency. Like, we need to get that first, and the draft is going to end up shaking a lot of this up too.
Absolutely, and you know, it's crazy. It's coming quick because NFL free agency starts in like
2 weeks,
and so we'll get that. We got combine again. We've said, you know, this weekend, or depending on when you're looking at this, it already happened. And so that's going to, you know, that'll shake a little bit up, but then we get free agency. That's going to change dramatically of what we know. You know, we're going to see more players get traded or released coming out. And so that'll try to change things, trades and everything else. And then the NFL draft, which is the biggest, you know, last thing we need. Then we'll kind of have a full picture of how all this is going to go. So right now, I think there's definitely some pockets of that you could kind of take advantage of. I think in best ball right now, if I'm doing an early draft, you might consider going running back a little bit heavier early, because that's, you're going to get incredible value for it versus the wide receiver position. But, you know, right now it's just wild. I don't think that the season long league is going to be this drastic of a stance. I don't think it's going to be this drastic of a stance on wide receiver, but if it is, we're going to have a lot to talk about in July and August because it's just wild how early these wide receivers are being steamed up right now. So, that being said, I appreciate everybody listening to the show. I appreciate everybody rocking with us. We'll be back again next week to talk about the glorious, glorious NFL Combine. You know, the winners, the losers, everything else that stood out from there, what information we get from it. So I hope everybody has a great weekend, and we will be back again shortly next week to talk about the NFL Combine, and then we'll start setting up NFL free agency. So have a good weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. No! I know who I want. places you will be from. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginnings.